Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. We can tell by the colors everybody's wearing, about the church sanctuary lit up. But you know, some people have never heard of Pentecost Sunday. Even though they read it in the book of Acts, they're really not for sure what it is. You know, red is a reminder of the flames of fire that appeared over the disciples' heads in the book of Acts. On that first Pentecost, the disciples were given the power to speak in actual languages so that everyone who had come to Jerusalem could understand. You say, well, what are those languages? Well, you'll find out in just a minute. The first part of the story is thrilling. There was a sound of a mighty wind, and we've had some big winds around here lately, but you just imagine a wind coming through without a storm. This is what happened in Jerusalem that day. It came through, and then they described it as tongues of fire shooting out. That must have been almost frightening to a lot of people, because I don't know about you, but I've never seen anything like it. So, you know, things that we don't see, it kind of spooks us, doesn't it? So here was something happened that had never occurred before in the history of the world. People from every section of the Roman Empire were there, and they heard their languages being spoken by Galileans. And as you know, Galileans had a reputation of being uneducated. So they were just scratching their heads thinking, what's going on here? You know, it's kind of like if you ever, well, this week was the platinum anniversary of Her Majesty the Queen, but they have what they call British Commonwealth Day in England, and that's when people from all over the former British Empire come together in London, and they have a celebration, and in that celebration, they say languages are heard from all over the Commonwealth, from Swahili to Urdu to Tongan. You know where Tonga is? It's a little island in the South Pacific. They come from all over, and they're speaking their native languages. The promise of the Holy Spirit poured out on young and old, including women and men, slave and free. That's what happened. And as the Bible explains, Simon Peter preached such a powerful sermon that over 3,000 people were converted and baptized in one day. It was amazing to see what happened. Pentecost broke down the walls of despair, fear, and reordered our world in surprisingly new ways in a spiritual sense. Suddenly, the differences between peoples of the world, whether in accent, languages, races, or ethnicities, were not something to fear, but seen as a gift of God. It was literally a second Tower of Babel that was coming upon the early church there. And everybody was brought together. You know, it seems today everybody likes to be separate, but it looks like in the early church, the Holy Spirit merged everybody. Now, that's not to say they dissolved the distinctives between people, no means, but they knew they were there as a unit, a one body in the Lord. And that's what happened. Those differences somewhat disappeared. You know, that's like in relationships with people. Do you always try to find differences with people or commonalities? Always remember, when you find commonalities, you know what? You may have a new friend there. So remember that about how you approach people. But God, well, through Pentecost, think about this, is God's time coming infiltrated and intruding into our lives. It's like wearing a pair of new glasses, and suddenly our vision is restored. Let's look at how we may demonstrate what the Holy Spirit is doing to fill our lives. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This verse can redirect us toward the better things of life. Just think about this in the better things of life. Is there anybody here who wakes up in the morning, leaps out of bed, immediately goes outside without changing their bed clothes? I seriously doubt it. You might wear a house coat, but you don't stand out there very long. Well, if you did it once, you probably wouldn't do it again. A lot of people say, well, what are you doing standing out in your pajamas in the first place? Well, unfortunately, many people think this is how change takes place in faith as well. Well, a lot of times this verse says to clothe ourselves. Well, what does that clothe ourselves mean? It means to wrap yourself in the Holy Spirit. It means if we do not permit God to make something occur, it's not going to happen by some automatic process. For instance, this morning, you got your clothes out to come to church. Put them on the bed, possibly. I don't know. I did mine that way. But what if they remain there unworn? Well, you know what? If you came to church without them on, you could have been arrested for indecent exposure. Think about that. It's foolish for us not to desire the Holy Spirit to clothe us in our faith journey. That is something we ignore most of the time as people of faith. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. We must permit the Holy Spirit to infiltrate everyday situations of life. Well, what sort of characteristics are we to wear? Well, first is compassion. Compassion is when we forget about ourselves long enough to meet the challenges of someone who is distressed or have as a need. You know, you hear the word love stir it up a lot, even in pulpits. But if you don't have compassion, you may be lacking something there. Compassion gives breath. It gives depth. It gives something there that love does, but love needs a sibling support called compassion. And compassion is one of the most important things a person could ever clothe themselves with. Sometimes God is calling us out to show compassion right in the middle of our selfishness to prove that we are wrong. How many of us here could say we'd be happy if we'd received from God's displeasure all we deserved? I don't think we'd be very happy. Well, look at us. Sometimes we like to make people feel like that they really are going to be punished by us. We show no compassion on them. But aren't we pleased and thankful that we serve a God of compassion and mercy? We seek compassion because the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside us and can be demonstrated by our outward actions. Another aspect to the Holy Spirit is that of kindness. Kindness is looking for things that can be done to be a blessing to others. To be kind, we must take the initiative even while others may not even be appreciative of what we've done. You know, a lot of times we may get our fingers snapped at because we do something kind for somebody. And what's the old saying? No good deed goes unpunished. Sometimes that can be the fact and the truth. But that is not to deter us or to stop us from continuing to do something kind. Even the scripture says, be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Kindness, if measured in terms of things we take the time to do, will show up eventually. Because of kindness, we are being the type of witnesses, Christ said, who are transformed when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Now, there's another characteristic. It's called humility. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think humility is one of the most difficult traits to ever tame because pride steps in the way. And that can be a ruination. Even though we may think we're humble, but to be humble is something that to wear it takes a lot of effort. Humility is a voluntary choice that is done when we do not have to do it. We recognize that nothing God asks us to do would be beneath us. Never be afraid that God's going to have you do something that you don't want to do or that God wants you to do, but God will convince you that that's the best thing to do. And guess what? After the Holy Spirit convicts you, You won't have any hesitation. Now, am I saying God's going to send you to Mongolia as a missionary? No. It may be donating some money to a charity. It may be giving somebody a ride. Maybe calling a person up who's a shut-in. There are so many things, but it takes humility to do that. And it takes humility to keep from walking around and saying, look what I did, I'm patting myself on the back. That's not humility at all. It's being pretentious in that regard. So, you know, God asks us to do things to please Him and also to be a benefit to people around us. When, you know, that's the important thing. You know, when a person says something that's disliked, you know, to us, what's the initial response? Well, we come back with some smart aleck response to put them in their place. That's why we must acquire humility. A smart aleck mouth is the exact opposite of humility. And let me tell you, it's difficult because you people all the time are making snide remarks. So how do you overcome it? Say a little prayer. Say, God, give me the humility to do that and the grace. Now, there's another trait here which I think is very important too. What about gentleness, which is mentioned in the passage? Gentleness is stepping aside so that someone else may go ahead of us. It's closely related to kindness because we know gentleness applies when we're driving our cars in rush hour traffic and somebody cuts us off or they don't make a turn signal. And we know that sometimes we get pretty steamed. Or what about in the grocery checkout lane? Have you ever had anybody try to get in front of you or shove a buggy behind you? That happens all the time, and it becomes the norm. What do? Shove back? No. We just go on. You know, sometimes we have to just learn to swallow our pride. In the game of life, do we insist on going first or do we give the other person the option? You know, something I've learned about driving over the years, that when I come to a four-way stop and I see a couple of vehicles coming there, I put my brake on and I slow down. I let the other two vehicles fight it out who's going to go next. That way they go on and I have a clear clearance to go right on and I don't have any problems there. But you know, today people aren't like that a lot. Road rage is a big thing and you hear about it all the time. So it's better to be safe than sorry and assert your rights, because sometimes asserting your rights may get you into trouble. Sadly, but true. So if Christ had concentrated on his rights, he would have never made it to the cross. Remember Philippians 4:1, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Think about that. Your gentleness grabs the Lord's attention. So try to nurture that gentleness aspect to this. It's very important. And the last characteristic, and the Holy Spirit provides, it may be the most difficult, is patience. How many of us say, oh, I've conquered patience, and guess what? A new challenge comes along, and we have to face it. And that's difficult, because we think, phew, I got through with that. We think, oh, I have the patience of Job, but something comes up, and we're having to relearn it all. Just because we are Christians does not mean we are inherently patient people. But the scripture says we are to wear patience. We insist on wanting what we want immediately or now. Patience means abiding a little longer with a smile in our hearts. Patience is also, if we're patient while gritting our teeth, that's not patience, it's just being tolerant. I've got a friend I've had for 30 years, and if I ever hear I'm sorry from his lips, I'm going to fall over dead. He's one of these people who's right about everything. He has very little patience. He just goes right on, and he thinks everybody else is stupid, and he's bright. And I told him one time, I said, you're the meanest person I've ever met. And I told him right out. But what happens is, and by the way, I still try to be a friend to him. Do you know, everybody has people in their lives that's not exactly I don't know, smell nice or whatever you want to call it, or just nice. But he's one of these people really gets me to thinking, and I haven't severed diplomatic relations with him yet. But we go through life with people, and it may be relatives who try our patience. You know, they say your family can really tell your patience more, go after your patience more than anybody else. So develop the spirit of patience, and guess what? Pray to the Holy Spirit to grant you that. And this is also very true about praying all the time and asking the Holy Spirit. Like if you say, Heavenly Father, would you please allow the Holy Spirit to go ahead of me? You know, when you're driving, you don't know what's going to happen. Or if you step outside the door, I was thinking the other night, I said, well, I might get hit by a bullet going into the post office. You just don't know. That was a positive thought, wasn't it? But you never know what the next second may hold for any of us. So isn't it better to clothe yourself in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to go ahead of you? That really works. It really works because we're not guaranteed our next minute, are we? Or our next second. So allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives more often. And the Holy Spirit will work. It's confirmed in the Bible. You know, being impatient, and as I said about that friend, being impatient in life can destroy relationships that God has given us. If this characteristic of patience is applied daily, the Holy Spirit will be reflected in our lives. You know, I like to go by, you know, a lot of churches have signs, but I saw a sign the other day in front of a school, and it was a sign, and remember that scripture I just quoted? It had, be kind one to another. Now, they didn't give reference to where it came from, but I know where it came from. I like to see uplifting things like that because guess what? It makes me smile. Think about smiling moments that you might be able to give a word of encouragement to somebody. And you know, at the same time, sometimes we may not feel like doing much, but you can maybe find somebody that's feeling worse than you and give them that encouragement. And that's what I was speaking about, that God may call us to do the smaller things in life. We never may get in the newspaper or Time magazine or Presbyterians Today, but God knows what we do. We don't have to go around and flaunt it. God will be pleased regardless. This Pentecost Sunday should reveal that the Holy Spirit will guide our lives, is guiding our lives, and we have nothing to really fear, but we must acknowledge that our hearts and minds always are molded by the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't get through this life without it. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, sometimes we do neglect the third part of the Holy Trinity called the Holy Spirit. Let us acknowledge the Holy Spirit more often in our lives than we should, because your Son said the Holy Spirit would be our comforter once he departed to heaven. Let us take advantage of the third part of the Trinity, and let us rely upon the Holy Spirit every day, even when we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night. Help us, O Lord, be constantly reminded that the Holy Spirit is here for us. Help us in this congregation with struggles or whatever it may be, but know that you are on our side. We give thanks always through Christ our Lord. Amen.